What's up, guys? I'm Kevin Lapka.
I'm Ryan Talley.
And this is the Lapka and Talley podcast. We're coming to you live from Columbus, Ohio. We're going to do our week 7 game previews, a little bit of fantasy insight, and then our last segment, new one for this week. It's called Contenders or Pretenders. So we're going to go over a few teams who are in the hunt, but we're going to tell you if we think they are playoff contenders or if they are just pretenders. So let's start it off. We're filming this on Friday, so we are not going to do the Thursday night game. About that game, though, we're just going to go a little recap on that, just a small one. Houston beat Miami 42-23 in Houston, covered by the Texans. A pretty exciting game, honestly, just in the sense that there was a lot of really exciting plays. We saw that DeAndre Hopkins incredible catch that was unfortunately called back
possibly
by a flag.
Possibly the greatest catch that didn't count.
Exactly, one of the best. And then you saw the immaculate reception part two, where the ball just bounced. It looked like pinball out there. But otherwise, the Texans dominated in the end. 14 points in the fourth quarter solidified them the win. They look like a much better team. They have now won 4 in a row and are leading the AFC South. So, that being said, let's move on now to the Week 7 game previews. We're going to start with the first game of the week, which is in London, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time game. The Philadelphia Eagles versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. This one opened at 3 for Jacksonville. Now it's plus 3.5 for Jacksonville, so Philly is favored by 3.5. I know this is your team. Who are you going to take in London?
Going to go with the Eagles here. Jacksonville's really struggling offensively, and their offense is focused, or it's key to getting the run game going. The Eagles have one of the best run defenses in the league.
They do.
I think they can shut down TJ Yeldon and Carlos Hyde, mm-hmm. who's newly being introduced into the offense. And once mm-hmm. you shut down the Jaguars' run game, Blake Bortles is forced to throw, and we've seen over the past couple weeks that it doesn't work so well for the Jaguars when Blake Bortles has to throw a lot. I think the Eagles get their run game going a little bit more, because if they figure out that they cannot run the ball this week, mm-hmm. I think they need to go out and look for a running back. I think this is the make or break game. See if these young guys can get the job done.
Well, here's the thing about, well, just real quick about the whole trade thing. Today is the 26th, so Sunday games are on the 28th, right? So then after that, they have 2 days to find a running back because the trade deadline is 30th. So we'll see what happens.
4 p.m. on Tuesday.
4 p.m. on Tuesday. So go on.
Yeah, so this is basically the make or break game for these young running backs to decide if the Eagles can figure it out and stick with these guys or find someone new. So I'm going to take the Eagles here. I think they played well enough to win last week. So I do think that they are still a good team. They just haven't fully clicked. I think they get on track here in London and win the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take Jacksonville plus 3.5. And the biggest reason for me is the fact that Jacksonville has played in London before. This is actually a really big aspect that people don't really talk about too much. They have won their last 3 in London. I don't know. Is this the first time Philadelphia has played in London?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the first time Philadelphia has played in London. Jacksonville has played there 6 times and won their last 3. It's honestly a big thing. When you have to fly overseas and play in London where there's no home crowd or anything like that, it's a new feeling, and it's hard to do. It's hard for teams to adjust to. So I do like the fact that Jacksonville has the experience in London and, in fact, has been on a roll winning their last 3 at Wembley. But now into more of the game stuff, I think it's kind of unknown at this point because we've always talked about the Jaguars as the ground-and-pound team, and this is now they're trying to fulfill that. They got Carlos Hyde to fulfill the role of Leonard Fournette for the weeks that he is out, but we don't know what he's going to do yet. And again, this is a really good Philadelphia defense, so we don't know, but I just feel in general that they're going to – it's not even the fact that they have Carlos Hyde now. It's just a mindset now that they can be more committed to the run. They were so – reluctant to commit to the run with TJ Yeldon, and they just wanted to throw with Blake Bortles all the time, but now they know they have that guy there. They're just going to keep running it, even if it's not successful in the first half. Keep giving it to Carlos Hyde, keep giving it to TJ Yeldon, because we obviously know that Bortles is on a short leash and that we might even see Kessler in this game for a second straight week. So if the Jaguars just have that mindset of just keep the ground and pound going, they can win this game with 21 points. That's how much I like the Jags defense still, because the focal point of the Jags defense is a secondary. We know the rush defense has been not the greatest. And we look at the Eagles running backs, like you just talked about, they don't daunt the Jacksonville defense whatsoever. So I think Jacksonville will be successful stopping Alshon Jeffrey. You're going to see Jalen Ramsey on Alshon. They're going to be able to, you're going to have Telvin Smith on Zach Ertz. I like that matchup for the Jaguars. The speed and the athleticism of the linebackers of Jacksonville should be able to cover most of the Eagles' speed players. And I think this is, again, this is a low-scoring game. You're looking at 21-14. But I do think the Jags win the game outright. Again, the London experience is too much for me. The passing defense is really gonna help against a Philadelphia team that is going to want to rely on passing for a rushing attack that's not great. However, if Philadelphia gets the rushing attack going, you're definitely going to see them probably come out with the win if they get the rushing attack going. So if it's Monday morning and Philadelphia has won by 14-plus points, you're going to see Corey Clement or Wendell Smallwood, one of them, have a big game. So, very big for Philadelphia to get the running game going. But I like Jacksonville to stop that running game, and I like Jacksonville to stop the passing game as well. I think this defense is still too good. So I'm going to take Jacksonville. You got something?
Yeah, one more quick note. The Eagles have the ghost of Princess Diana on their side.
Oh.
She was seen wearing an Eagles jacket. She landed the cover of People magazine June 13th, 1994, wearing a Philadelphia Eagles jacket. Not necessarily an Eagles fan. She loved the Eagles logo, so she wore the jacket. And nobody's ever seen Carson Wentz and Prince Harry in the same room together. So, the Eagles have the Royals on their side in London. Take the Eagles.
All right. Will royalty swing it the Eagles' way? We'll see. Let's move on now to an NFC East battle in New York, where the Washington Giants are going up against the... The Washington Redskins are going up against the New York Giants. This game opened up as New York Giants +1, but has now moved to a pick 'em, which may surprise a lot of people. 67% of the community is taking Washington, while 33% of the community is taking New York. New York 0-3 at home, both against the spread and straight up. And Washington 1-1 on the road, both straight up and against the spread. Who are you taking in this one in a pick 'em in New York?
Yeah, I gotta be honest here. I have no idea how this game is a pick 'em. The Giants are 1-6.
Yeah.
And the Washington Redskins are 4-2 and leading the NFC East. I know this game is in New York, but still, this Giants team is not a good team. They're not winning games. Washington's gonna win this game, I think, easily. I don't know if it's a blowout, but I think Washington will dominate control of the game. I think they win. And there's not too much into this one, but Washington is 4-1 in their against the spread in their last 5 games against the NFC.
Yeah.
So take that, and they're 4-2 overall this year against the spread.
Right.
So,
well, the thing about Washington, something's got to be going on here. We saw the line move from +1 to a pick 'em. And for a team like the New York Giants, for something like that happen, there's got to be an injury somewhere or something that the bettors in Vegas are seeing to move that to a pick 'em or to even have it at +1 in the first place. And again, I think a lot of it comes from the inconsistency of the Redskins. I don't think the bettors in Vegas are confident enough to like put them as a big favorite in this game, because we haven't seen the consistency from Washington. They honestly might even won that game against Dallas. That would have been a overtime game. Who knows what could have happened there. This isn't a team that's been dominating by any means. And we saw a New York Giants team last week that was competitive against an okay Falcons team. Now, the Giants are 0-3 at home. I don't like that. But if you look at the matchup between the Redskins and the Giants, the Redskins have lost 10 of their last 11 at MetLife. So that's another one of those trend things that could have moved this line to a pick-em. I'm not really sure. But you're kind of seeing the New York Giants offense kind of evolve a little bit. I know this is the first year with Pat Shurmur, so it was obviously going to take time for it to evolve. And, you know, one day it's Saquon Barkley going off, the next day it's OBJ going off. But I think you're finally seeing an offense that we know what they can be. And if they get the passing offense going, do not be surprised if New York wins this game. I'm taking New York to win this game. I don't think they're as bad as their record looks. I think most people can agree with that. Olivier Vernon is back. He's been wreaking havoc the past 2 games. I love what he does. I think he's going to get a lot of pressure on Alex Smith. Washington has the third best rush defense, so we'll see how Saquon does, but they can win football games through the year. We saw that last week when Saquon got shut down by Atlanta, and they had a chance to win that football game last week. They only lost by three by a late 56-yarder by Giorgio Tavecchio. There's been so much buzz the past few years about Josh Norman versus OBJ, but that seems to have quieted down at this point. I think they like made amends last year. They kind of like said some stuff over social, and I think it was all okay. So
yeah, I think they're both just guys that love to.
Yeah, they're both guys that love to chirp, and they just have so much passion for the game. But I think the advantage is actually going to go OBJ in this one. I think he's gonna have a nice game, but I think Sterling Shepard's gonna have another big game. This is a pretty weak secondary without. When you have Josh Norman locked up against OBJ, I like DJ Swearinger, but I like what they do with Sterling Shepard. What else do we got here? This is just if you're the Washington Redskins, it's the same formula. You got to keep running the football. I mean, this is what you're going to be all year. We've talked about it all the time with Alex Smith. He's a game manager. What does Alex Smith's contract look like?
I think they just re-signed him to a 3-year deal.
3-year deal. See. Do you think a team with Alex Smith has a chance to win the Super Bowl? I don't think the Redskins are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Not with this defense.
Not with this defense. Well, this isn't a terrible defense. No, but you're saying,
if you're going to have a below average to average quarterback,
yeah,
or not a game-changing quarterback, you need to have an absolutely lockdown defense.
Right, I mean, look at the Jaguars from last year.
A great run game. Washington has a good run game. Adrian Peterson's been running well.
It's been better than the past 3 years.
Chris Thompson's coming back this week.
Yeah, he's back this week. I like that for a fantasy option.
I don't think Alex Smith will ever win his team the Super Bowl. I think he could be the quarterback of a Super Bowl winning team, but I don't think he'll be the reason why they win it.
Right.
But also, if you look this week, the Giants just traded Eli Apple, their number 2 cornerback. Just traded
Snacks
Harrison, their best defensive tackle. So look for Washington to try and get their run game going. Mm-hmm. Look for them to try and exploit the Giants' corners.
I mean, they don't have what weapons do they have to exploit the corners? I'm looking at the injury report here. Jameis Crowder is out.
He's out?
He is out. Why is here
Josh
Paul Richardson?
Doxson.
Out. So the two best wide receivers are out.
I believe they just... Oh, no.
Paul Richardson's questionable, so we'll see. But Crowder is out. Doxson has been nothing this year. He's big bust, but... Yeah, this game... Like, people don't understand. The Giants are not as bad. Like, this is a team that, like... They're in rebuild mode, and everyone knows that, but they're still going to fight. When you have guys like OBJ and Saquon, they're going to fight. And this is going to be a very good battle. It's going to be a really good football game, and I'm going to take the Giants to come out with the win at home. I just like the matchup better for the Giants, and I just don't think... I mean, when you... this is something I notice all the time. When you're a team like the Redskins, and you have Alex Smith for 3 years, like, where are you with your organization? You got to find a way to have one part of your team put you over the edge, because right now, with this team, with this defense, with Alex Smith, with kind of these running backs, this is not a team that is going to, in the future at this point, have a chance to make the Super Bowl. I mean, I think they're more than one or two players away from being that team that can make a run. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So,
I mean, they need wide receiver help.
They need a lot. I mean, their defense,
their
like
running
said,
backs are all right, but you can't rely on an aging Adrian Peterson. And Chris Thompson's a good running back,
but he's not a leading back. He's not a RB.
Yeah, exactly. He's a complimentary back.
So, I mean, we'll see, but this is just something I noticed all the time with teams like this. Like, you got to figure something out, and I just don't think Alex Smith is the long-term answer for a team that's trying to make a run at the Super Bowl, unless you have a Jacksonville or a dominating-type defense like that, because you saw what they did carrying Blake Bortles last year. So,
yeah.
We'll see, but otherwise, I'm taking New York Giants in this game. I love the matchup for them. I think OBJ and Sterling Shepard get going. Ryan is taking the Redskins. I'm taking the Giants. Let's move on now to Seahawks versus the Lions. Seattle is a 3-point favorite in this one. Who do you got?
3-point underdog.
Really? 3-point underdog. I wrote that incorrectly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Detroit's a 3-point favorite at home. Who do you got in this one in Detroit?
I got Detroit here. Since week one, they've been playing very well. They're 5-0 against the spread in their last 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
They got blown out by the Jets, but since then, Matt Patricia's turned it around, started to get his guys to play very well. the Seattle team's kind of on the fence of whether or not they're a good team or a bad team. I think Russell Wilson is just he's just keeping the ship afloat right now.
Most definitely.
The Lions are, like I said, they're picking it up. They're playing a lot better than what they looked like week one. I think Detroit wins this. They're at home. In the last six meetings between these teams, they're the home team's 5-1 against the spread.
Okay.
So I like the home field advantage for the Lions. And I'm going to take the Lions here over the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, I'm going to take Seattle +3, and I think they win outright as well. This is a big thing. KJ Wright is back for the Seahawks this week, and this is a team where the Lions have found their niche with the rushing game, and I think KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner really have the ability to stop that rushing game. That's what they've been lacking. They've been lacking their two main linebackers to stop the rushing game, but now that KJ Wright is back and Bobby Wagner's healthy, they should be able to contain the Lions rushing and force Matt Stafford to throw the ball a lot, and I think that's going to result in a few interceptions. Right now, Seattle is second in the NFL in turnover margin, so I think their ability to get turnovers will keep them in this football game. Again, it's going to be a very close game. It's going to come down to the wire. And I think I just like Seattle to win this one down the wire. They're actually 4-1 in their last five games after the bye since 2014. They had a bye week last week. I like what they do after the bye. They're an experienced team as far as that goes with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. They have a lot of veteran players. And I like what they were doing with Chris Carson. He's been had 100 yards in two of his last three games. So they've been able to get their rushing game going against the Detroit 29th ranked rush defense. So expect a lot more from Chris Carson as well in this game. And I think that perfect mix of Chris Carson, and then we all know what a healthy Doug Baldwin and Russell Wilson can do. So
yeah,
I like that matchup. I think the defensive matchup, the defensive advantage is going to go to the Lions, but I think the offensive advantage is going to go to the Seahawks in this one, and I like the Seahawks to win in a close game down the wire. Although it's at home for the Lions, the Seahawks are 1-2 on the road straight up, but I'm going to take Seattle +3 in a relatively low scoring game. You're looking at 21-17, you're looking at 24-21, something like that, so it's definitely going to hit the under in my opinion, but Seattle wins a fourth quarter game-winning drive, and win by a field goal. All right, let's move on now to Tampa Bay at Cincinnati. Kind of a weird game here. Two teams right now where we don't know who they are, really, still 7 weeks into the season. We're not really sure who they are. This is very strange. This game started at Cincinnati as a six-point favorite, but since has moved down to Cincinnati as a 3.5-point favorite, so moved 2.5 in favor of the Bucks. So who are you going to take in this one, and why do you think there was such a move in the line?
I think there's not a lot of confidence in Cincinnati right now. They played the worst defense in the league last week, and they got shut down.
Mm-hmm.
They did nothing against a terrible Kansas City defense. So I think people are seeing the Bucks at +6, and they like them. But since the lines moved down -3.5, I'm going to take Cincinnati here. I think they get back on track against another bad defense in the Buccaneers. Buccaneers are almost as bad as Kansas City. This game is not in prime time, which is a key thing for Andy Dalton, because he can play in the afternoon and during the day. But once it hits prime time, Andy Dalton forgets how to play football. I like Cincinnati still. I think this game either makes or breaks them. If they can win, get back on track, I think they keep their chances alive. If they lose, I think they're done.
Cincy?
Yeah, but I'm going to take Cincinnati here. I think they do get back on track. I think Tyler Boyd, AJ Green, big games. Joe Mixon, big game.
He was slow last week.
Yeah. Tampa Bay is just, you don't really know how to feel about them. Their first few games was with Ryan Fitzpatrick, so you couldn't get a real sense of what their offense was going to be for the full season. Jameis Winston comes back, and they look like the Buccaneers that we've seen for the past 2 or 3 years. Their defense is just not good. I think the key for them, if they are going to win this game, is this defense needs to shut the Bengals down, just like Kansas City did last week. I don't know if they can do that, so I'm going to take the Bengals minus 3.5.
All right, he's taking the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, we disagree for a fourth straight time. I'm taking Tampa Bay plus 3.5. Again, these are two teams that we just don't really know where they are. Even 7 weeks into the season, we still don't know. If you look at some of the statistics for Cincinnati, 29th ranked pass defense, 26th ranked rush defense. The thing that we've been talking about Tampa Bay, what we like about them is the offense. We actually like what they do on offense. We know what Jameis can do. We love the weapons. I mean, we love the counter, what they have to offer between Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson. When you got a guy who can go up and get the ball and make any catch, and then you got a guy who can break the field, break the game open with a 60-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then you got O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, two really strong tight ends. And, you know, the rushing attack is getting going. You know, Peyton Barber has been horrible. So I like this. I think this is a shootout game. If Cincinnati can figure out how to move the ball again, I don't know how they weren't able to move the ball Kansas City. And if they're like that again against a terrible Bucs defense, this is going to be a Bucs blowout. Because I like that. I like the Bucs offense slightly better than Cincinnati right now because we haven't seen what they can do with Joe Mixon. I know he's coming back off of an injury, but they haven't really been able to find, you know, who they are as far as their offense has gone. I like the weapons they have, but they haven't really been consistent with it. I mean, they scored 10 points last week against the worst defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can surely expect a huge game from their offense. You know, I think they're on the decline. When they started 4-1, but everyone kind of knew that they weren't exactly what their record showed. The big thing for Tampa, Quan Alexander goes down for the year with an ACL. Yeah. So that's a huge hit to that defense. You know, it's a guy like that who's kind of keeping the defense together when you're a linebacker like that, especially he's the leader of the defense. You know, it can really be demoralizing to a defense, but again, I think this game is just going to come down. Cincinnati's defense is bad as well. I think it's going to come down to who has the better offense, and it's going to be a shootout. And I think down the stretch, I like Tampa better than Cincinnati on offense. And that's just what I'm going to go with. I'm just going to eliminate the defenses from the question right here, and I'm going to go. I mean, Cincinnati's defense is better, but they just got dropped 45 points on them by Kansas City. We don't know what. It could go either way, honestly. I think there's a very strong chance you could see a blowout from either team. So I'm going to take the Bucs plus 3.5 simply because I like their offense better. But that's what I'm going to do. And you had Cincy minus 3.5. So we have now disagreed for four straight games. Let's move on now to the New York Jets at the Chicago Bears. This one opened at Chicago minus 6 and is now at Chicago minus 8. So that moved by 2. Sorry. 65% of the community is picking Chicago, while 35% of the community is picking New York. New York is 1-2 on the road against the spread. Chicago is 2-1 at home against the spread. Who are you taking in this one in Chicago?
I think we're going to disagree for the fifth straight time. I'm going to take the New York Jets here.
Okay.
I think the Bears win this game, but I think the Jets are within a touchdown.
Okay.
Last week, they got blown out, seemingly, by the Vikings, lost by 20, but they were minus 4 on the turnover battle, so that killed them. It gave the Vikings easy points, and they weren't outplayed significantly in that game. Obviously, Minnesota is the better team and won by a lot, but the Jets didn't play awful. And I think the Jets have been playing better than people expected this year, I would say. I think they're fighting in most games. I'm not really sure about more than a touchdown favorite for this Bears team. They're I believe a touchdown favorite 2 weeks ago against the Dolphins, ended up losing that game. I just don't know if the Bears are gonna completely dominate this game against the Jets. So I'm going to take the Jets to keep it close. I think the Bears still win, but Jets keep it close.
Okay, I'm taking the Bears minus 8, and here's why I'm saying that. This is a huge factor. Let's go through the New York Jets injury report as of today. Wide receiver Robbie Anderson, doubtful. Cornerback Morris Claiborne, questionable. Isaiah Crowell, out. Quincy Enunwa, out. Trumaine Johnson, doubtful. Darren Lee, doubtful. Spencer Long, questionable. Marcus May, questionable. I mean, this is a Andre Roberts out. This is Leonard Williams out. This team is so dang depleted right now. I don't think there's any chance they win this football game. This is going to be an absolute blowout. Put it in the books right now. Put all of your money on the Chicago Bears -8. The Bears, first of all, are a much better team at home. You saw them when they were a favorite in Miami. They didn't get it done. But this is a team that covered it against Tampa Bay at home. I love what they're just a much better team at home, and that's a lot of things that happen when you have a new coach. You're usually a better team at the home in your first year when you have a new coach. And this is a Jets team that wins games when they get the rushing game going, but the Bears have not allowed a rushing TD all season. The only team to do that, and they are the second ranked rush defense in the NFL. So what's going to happen when the Bears stop the rush defense? Sam Darnold is going to throw it around. What happens when Sam Darnold throws it around a lot of times? What was the stat? When Sam Darnold throws the ball more than 30 times, they lose the football game. And I think that's going to happen. I think he's going to throw more than 30 times against this exceptional Bears defense. And I think he's going to create a lot of turnovers. And I think the Bears finally get back to what the defense we saw in the first four games. A lot of pressure, a few sacks. Khalil Mack is questionable. And Allen Robinson is questionable. And for me, I think this might be a game where you sit both players. Because, I mean, I'm not sure. What do you think? This is a team where you play the Jets this week. You play the Bills next week. You know this is a winnable game without Mack or Robinson. Would you start those both of those guys if they can play but not are 100%? Would you start them or sit them?
I mean, obviously, if there's risk of injury, then I would sit them. But if they can play, even though they're a little hurt, I'm still going to play them. This is still the NFL. Any game... can it's be hard to win football by games in any NFL. Team. Khalil Mack has basically made the Chicago Bears team. Mitch Trubisky has come along nicely this year, but trading for Khalil Mack was a key part in this Bears team improving from last year. I think they both do play. They both practiced today.
Yep,
they both. Limitedly. They hadn't practiced so far this week, but I think they both play. If there's a serious risk of them getting re-injured, I would not play them because I think, obviously, Khalil Mack is the key to their defense. Allen Robinson, I think, needs to be a bigger focal point in this offense going forward. So if he's not healthy, that doesn't happen. So, I mean, I think it's the same for any injury. If the guy is at high risk of being injured, if he's a key player, you want to keep him out. You don't want him to have a prolonged injury like Leonard Fournette. So,
right.
If they can play, they should play.
All right, quick correction. Isaiah Crowell and Darren Lee are both in, not out for this week. But going back to the Bears, I think Khalil Mack plays, but I don't think Allen Robinson plays. Because when you look at the offense, this is a team that actually has a lot of weapons on offense, and there's a lot they can do without Robinson, and that's been pretty evident. He hasn't had a ton of huge games. He's been a pretty nice red zone target, but he hasn't been the focal point of the offense. I mean, last week we saw Trey Burton have a huge day, like 9 receptions, 126 yards, and a touchdown. Yeah. So he's kind of becoming the primary target for Mitch Trubisky rather than Allen Robinson. But you're right about Khalil Mack making this defense. And last week, when we talked about him being put into coverage 18 times, which is the most of his career, Vic Fangio actually explained it today. He said they wanted to put him in coverage because they knew Tom Brady gets the ball out quick. So that it kind of explains. I mean, I figured that's the reason, but that just explains it. So now you come back to this week. We have Sam Darnold, who's a rookie. You're going to see a lot more pressure from Khalil Mack. This is a guy who's going to get after the quarterback. He's not going to be in coverage half the game. And when Khalil Mack gets to the quarterback, the rest of the defense gets to the quarterback. And this is a very, very scary defense when that happens. So, again, huge game for the Bears defense. I think they create 4+ turnovers. I mean, they're 4-1 against the spread following a loss, which is what I really like to see. So I think Taylor Gabriel gets going against this depleted Jets defense and against their scheme. They're just not a great team in general. I think you're looking at Trubisky with 3 touchdowns. Howard has a touchdown. And a big game from, take a guess, wide receiver?
Taylor Gabriel?
No.
Kevin White.
Kevin White. Big game from Kevin White. Like I said, I don't think Allen Robinson plays in this game. So that means, I mean, in general, Kevin White was supposed to get a lot more snaps this week. His confidence is up. People are, fans are more confident in Kevin White. This is what we needed from him. I think they target him in a few deep balls, target this Jets secondary. I love Kevin White this week. I'm actually picking him up in fantasy. I'm not starting him, but he is on my roster on the bench just for the future. Look for Kevin White to score a touchdown this week. I'm taking the Bears -8 in this one. Let's move on now to the Broncos versus the Chiefs in AFC West battle. Pretty big line here. The Chiefs are favored by 9.5 at home. Who are you taking in this one in Kansas City with the 6-1 Chiefs versus the, what are they? The 3-4 Broncos.
I'm going to take the Broncos here. I think they lose by a touchdown, but I think they keep it within the 9.5 points.
Okay.
You look at the last time these two teams matched up earlier in the season, the Broncos should have won that game. Case Keenum missed an easy target.
Mm-hmm.
They end up losing the game. I think Denver is going to try and keep their momentum going off of a huge win against Arizona last week. I think Kansas City continues to roll. I think they beat them. But I do think Denver will keep this game closer than expected.
Yeah, for sure.
The game is in Kansas City, so home field advantage for Kansas City a little bit. But the road team is 8-2 against spread in the last 10 meetings between these two teams. Ooh. So Denver's on the road. I'm going to go with Denver +9.5.
I'm going to take Denver +9.5 as well, but I think you're right. I think you're going to see a Chiefs win. This is just a Denver team that's not good enough right now to go up against this Kansas City offense. I don't know if you're going to see a shootout. I think it's going to be a battle. I think it's definitely going to be a battle. Like, I mean, division games in general, like, it's going to be a battle.
Yeah.
Like, you see the Chiefs play against the Bengals. That's two AFC teams, but they're not in the same division, so a blowout is okay. But when you have two division teams, they know each other. You know, they've played each other multiple times before. It's definitely a closer game than expected. I think this line is way too big for me. I think Denver has the ability to generate turnovers, and I think they do that. I think they get a few picks off of Patrick Mahomes based off of the pressure from Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. They're going to get to the quarterback, and Patrick Mahomes has been really good outside of the pocket, but he has made some careless decisions outside of the pocket. I mean, he knows he has the arm talent, so he's going to throw it around a little bit.
Yeah.
He's like Cam Newton or like some of those other guys. He's going to try to fit into holes where he can't fit them in. So I think that is going to cause a few turnovers for Denver. Here's a big thing for Denver, though. Emmanuel Sanders questionable. If he doesn't play, that's really concerning for this Denver offense because he has been leading their team in he has been leading the passing offense, absolutely carrying them. I mean, you really haven't seen much from Demaryius Thomas. I mean, I can't even name another Courtland Sutton. Who's their tight end? I can't even name their tight end.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all Emmanuel Sanders. He threw a touchdown last week. He's the biggest guy on the passing offense. Let's move to the running backs. Big Philip Lindsay game this week. Huge fantasy start. Mark it down. Start Philip Lindsay. Again, this is a Chiefs defense that even after shutting the Bengals for 10 points last week, they are still last in the NFL. The Broncos are really good when they get the running game going. I think you do see that, and that's another one of the reasons why I think this game is close, because I think they get the running game going, and I think that allows them to have long, extended drives, keep Mahomes off the field, because the Chiefs are going to score. We know that. But if they can keep Mahomes off the field, create turnovers, they're going to be in this game. You might even see them win this game. I don't think they are, but don't be surprised if they do. You're looking at like a 28-24. I think it hits the under for one of the like few times this year for the Kansas City Chiefs. But if the Broncos are going to have any chance, they're going to have to play good defense. They're going to have to get pressure, and they're going to somehow have to schematically figure out how to cover Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, and Kareem Hunt. So, but again, who's the defensive coordinator for the Broncos? I don't remember. Who is the defensive coordinator for the Broncos? I had to find out. But they have a new quarterback. It's not Wade Phillips anymore, but he probably knows Andy Reid a little bit, so he may know what the Chiefs are going to try to do. So I'm taking Broncos like +9.5, but you're probably going to see a Chiefs win. But do not be surprised whatsoever if the Broncos come out of the win with this game due to a big game from Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. Let's move on now to an AFC-NFC matchup in Carolina. Baltimore versus the Panthers. Panthers are actually a 2-point underdog at home. Who are you going to take on this one? It's a pretty interesting game here.
Yeah, I'm going to take Baltimore minus 2.5. Carolina came off a win last week against the Eagles, but they should not have won that game at all. The Eagles played very well for three quarters and blew the lead in the fourth quarter. Baltimore is one of the best defenses in the league. I think they can shut down Carolina offense. I think they can get the ball moving offensively against Carolina defense. The Ravens are 4-1 against the spread in their last five games following an against the spread loss. And almost the exact opposite, the Panthers are 1-4 against the spread in their last five games following an against the spread win. So the Ravens can are good at rebounding from the loss. Panthers, tough time, maybe a little bit of a hangover, I don't know, after the win. So I like Baltimore here on the road, but I think they get it done defensively, which is the key for them all season long. I also think this is a big game for both teams. Winner, I think, continues to be a contender.
Yep.
Loser, I think, is just about on the brink of falling out of contention.
I mean, yeah, if you look at both teams are 4-2. Well, no, the Panthers are 4-2. Baltimore's 4-3. So if you see Baltimore lose this game, and I think Steelers are going to win this week, then you're definitely looking at Baltimore falling out of that pretty condensed AFC wildcard picture. And then Carolina, you're in a really tough division with the Saints. They're going to probably win that division for sure. And then you're looking at the NFC, which is also a really tough condensed wildcard race. So I think you're right. This actually moved from a pick 'em to Carolina plus 2.5. Not really sure why, but it moved 2.5, which is a pretty big amount. I'm going to go with Carolina. Here's what is interesting. You're going to see Baltimore pressure Cam. They have one of the best defenses in the NFL. They lead the league in sacks. But here's one thing that happens when you play Cam. You can pressure him, but he's going to roll out. And I think in this game, you're going to see them get pressure on Cam. And it's going to lead, he's going to extend a play, create a play. It's going to lead to a huge defensive breakdown. And he's going to score a big touchdown somehow or some way. People don't underestimate that. When you have a guy, look at Mitchell Trubisky. They pressured him. He rolls out, runs 70 yards, scores a rushing touchdown. When you get a lot of pressure and you have a mobile quarterback, the defense will break down when you're holding the ball for 6+ seconds, and I think you're going to see some big plays out of Carolina due to a Cam Newton evading pressure creativity play where the defense breaks down and he runs for a big gain or finds someone deep after a breakdown in coverage. So I like that. That's just a little tidbit, but I think Carolina just has a better offense. Their defense is solid, but they have the 4th-ranked rush offense, so I think they're going to get Christian McCaffrey going a little bit. Again, this is a really good Baltimore defense, but they're going to have to rely on the rushing game because we talk about the woes of the Carolina passing offense, especially downfield. So Christian McCaffrey hasn't really had a break, any certain huge games, but he's been good. He's been productive for the offense. He's been what they need him to be. And again, this Carolina defense isn't bad either. I think they'll be able to stop the Ravens, who, again, their offense isn't anything special really. They're just pretty average, but they win games at this point because of their defense. They're not putting up 35 points a game where they need to win because their defense is able to hold the other team to a very low amount of points. But the Carolina D really thrives on takeaways. In their 4 wins, they have forced 9 turnovers. In their 2 losses, they have forced 1 turnover. So if they want to win this football game, they're going to have to get turnovers. And with Joe Flacco, he's been a lot better this year, controlling interceptions, but this surely could be a game where he throws a few, and I think if Carolina gets a few takeaways, they'll definitely win this football game. But if you're the Panthers as well, you're gonna need to move the ball. The Ravens right now have the first overall third down defense, so they stop teams on third down more effectively than any other team in the NFL. So if you're the Carolina Panthers, you're gonna want to move the ball, be really smart on third down, because If you're stagnant and you're just not getting first down conversions, then this Baltimore Ravens team is going to run away with the win. But I'd like the Panthers to do some nice things. I think this is a game where the offense isn't going to have a ton of numbers. But like I said, you're going to see some big plays that are going to change the game. So I'm going to take Carolina +2, and I think they win the football game. +2.5, and I think they win the football game. And you had Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
So is that... Have we disagreed on every game? No. We've agreed on every game but Broncos-Chiefs. So one of us this week is going to be down in the money. Well,
yeah.
We'll have to see. Let's move on now to an AFC North matchup. Really big line here. Cleveland Browns at Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers are an 8-point favorite. 53% of the community is taking Pittsburgh. 47% of the community is taking Cleveland. So this is one of the closer community picks that we've seen. Cleveland, however, 0-3 on the road. Pittsburgh, 1-2 at home. So Cleveland, bad road team. Pittsburgh, not a great home team this year. So not really sure what to expect there. Who are you going to take in this one where the first game resulted in a tie? So what are you taking in this one?
I'm going to take Pittsburgh here. Cleveland played them well in week one, but it was clearly evident that Pittsburgh was struggling early in the season. I think they have since gotten on track, gotten better. You look at the stats from the first game, James Conner had 31 rushing attempts, 135 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Also caught 5 passes for 57 yards. I think he has 31 another...
31 rushing attempts. That's ridiculous.
Hey, whatever.
It works. I'm not saying it's not working. That's just a crazy number.
I think he has another big day. Ben Roethlisberger threw for over 300 yards the last time these two teams played. Cleveland's been trending downward since their early season successes, I guess you can call it, when you get 2 wins.
And Cleveland, oh, that's the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So I think Pittsburgh continues to trend in the right direction. I think they start taking control of the AFC North.
You mean Pittsburgh?
Yeah, sorry.
I think
they take control of that division, and I think they win this game by 10 points.
All right. I'm taking Pittsburgh -8 as well. This is a team that is just starting to find themselves. The Le'Veon Bell turmoil stuff has kind of died down a little bit. It's not, you know, we know what James Conner can do. And
supposed to report this week. He still hasn't. So.
Supposed to report this week and still hasn't. So just give up on it. James Conner is just as effective at this point. I mean, this is a Cleveland team that hasn't won in Pittsburgh since 2003. 15 years they have not won in Pittsburgh.
Jeez.
And I don't think that continues. I don't think that changes this week. Cleveland this year 0-3 on the road. They're just really bad on the road. And overall, I know there was promise. Guys, this is just not a good Cleveland football team. And this is what you have to understand. This defense is just not good. They were supposed to be good. They're in the bottom 25. This offense, they just traded away Carlos Hyde. I mean, I know they want to commit to Nick Chubb, had a nice game, but I don't like the weapons that they have on the outside. I know they have Jarvis Landry, but nothing else besides that really scares me. I mean, David Njoku's kind of nice, but their weapons on offense has been pretty bad the whole year. And this is a huge thing. I don't know if you saw this last week. After the bad offensive performance last week from the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson has promised to get involved in the offense, claiming that he is going to call plays this week. I don't know how I feel about that, especially because if you look at this, Todd Haley was the offensive coordinator for the Steelers last year. So when you're playing the Steelers this week, he's probably going to have a little bit of insight on the defense. He's probably going to know how to play against the defense if he was the offensive coordinator of the team last year. And I mean, it kind of proved it in game one. He held that, the Cleveland Browns scored 21 points on that Pittsburgh offense in week one. I mean, that's sufficient enough. So I don't like the switch. I mean, it could be beneficial, but I think at this point, I think it's just unnecessary. You don't have to. I don't know if Hugh Jackson, we don't know what Hugh Jackson's going to be doing, calling the plays, but I didn't really like that move in the first place. I think
he's just trying to take control of the team. I think he knows that.
He knows he's on the hot seat.
He has to do something to make it look like he deserves to stay.
Yeah.
And I think if this game gets out of control, I think Hugh Jackson's fate will be sealed.
Wow, after this game.
I don't know if he'll be fired after this game, but I think this will, I mean, they'll fall to 2-5 Yeah. So they're going to be on track to win 5, maybe 6 games, which would be an improvement off of 1 win in the last 5 seasons, but not drastic enough to forgive all of the shortcomings that Hugh Jackson has had over the last 3 seasons.
Surely, I mean, if Pittsburgh blows, if they win by 10, you're not going to see him get fired, but if they win by more than 20, Pittsburgh wins by more than 20. Complete blowout. Oh, it's, I think it's done. I think it's, we already have seen the reports from the sources that he's on thin ice with the organization. They don't like what he's been doing, and I think this could be his fate this game if we see a blowout. Cleveland, they got 3 interceptions against Pittsburgh in the first game. If they do that again, it could be close, but again, this is a Pittsburgh team that is finding their stride. They're a lot better than they were in week 1, so going to take Pittsburgh -8 here. Definitely look for a blowout for sure. Let's move on now. Kind of a boring game in Oakland. Indianapolis Colts versus the Oakland Raiders. Indy right now is a 3-point favorite. Indy 1-3 on the road this year, but Oakland 1-1 at home. Oakland coming off the bye. Just traded Amari Cooper. Turmoil down in California. Who are you going to take in this one?
I'm taking Indianapolis here. I think they continue what they did last week. Keep that run game moving. Marlon Mack expected to play this week. A little bit of injury troubles this week, but he did practice today, so he looks like he should play Sunday. I think that's key for them to keep that run game going.
Yeah.
Limit the amount of stress on Andrew Luck's shoulder. And this Raiders team is just, they're not good. They're just falling down. They're going to be at the very bottom of the league.
They will have the first overall pick?
Yeah, I would not be surprised. They just traded away Amari Cooper. Very limited weapons offensively now. They were limited prior to this game. Marshawn Lynch might be done forever. We don't know.
Is he injured currently?
They put him on IR.
Oh,
no. So Doug Martin hasn't looked very good this year when he has gotten the chance. Jalen Richard, not a great inside rusher, can catch the ball out of the backfield, but I don't think this Raiders team will do anything. Indianapolis is actually a decent defensive team this year.
Oh, yeah.
Not great, but has been a lot better from what we've seen over the past couple of years. I think Indianapolis wins this game easily. Would not be surprised if it's a blowout.
Completely agree. I think it is a blowout. I'm taking Indy -3. I mean, this is a tanking Oakland team. I'd say it's an absolute tank. That's what it is. That's the only way to put it. There's an apparent, quote-unquote, fractured relationship between Derek Carr and the team. We saw the video of him crying 2 weeks ago. This is a team that is just in shambles at the moment. But for the right reason. We'll get to that in a second. But Indy has found an identity with Marlon Mack. They know what to do now. They're going to throw Andrew Luck 25 times. He's going to have 25 attempts. Keep it light on him and then give it to Marlon Mack 20 times. And this is a really successful offense. But going back now, I mean, there's not a lot to say about this game. I think Indy wins by a ton. I know Oakland's better at home. But again, you want to talk about this team going into rebuild mode. To be completely honest, folks, this is exactly what John Gruden wanted. I mean, the Khalil Mack trade was bad for them, like really bad. But now they've collected 3 first round picks this year. Two next year, I believe. Yes, 2 next year.
They have 3 and then 2, but that's including their own.
So right, well, that's including their own. But now,
2 years.
So they're going to get a pick from the Bears this year, which is going to be a later round pick. A pick from the Cowboys, which is going to be like a mid round pick. And then they're probably going to have the first overall pick. So my question for you is, this is a team right now, it's John Gruden's team at this point. He wants to develop his own players. He wants to recreate the whole team. He wants to, in any way he can. Do you think they get rid of Derek Carr somehow, some way, to leave it up to John Gruden to develop his own rookie quarterback? Because he's on a 10-year contract. He has the ability to do that. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if they get rid of him this year, but I do think if they're high enough, they will draft a quarterback this year. There's a ton of quarterbacks coming out. I mean, they might look at a guy like Nick Bosa. But right. Knowing John Gruden, I don't know if he likes the move of skipping out on half of the college football season mm-hmm. to get ready for the NFL draft. I mean, this
guy... Well, you still got Ed Oliver.
He is a football guy through and through. John Gruden knows that it's quarterback or bust in this league. I think he finds his own quarterback, develops that quarterback. I do think Derek Carr is out within next year. I don't know if they get rid of him this year, but I would not be surprised if they get rid of him after this season.
Yeah, and so, people, the only way they'd be able to get rid of him is through a trade, because he is currently on a huge contract. And right now, the concerning thing about the Raiders, if you want to trade Derek Carr, he is trending down. And his value in a trade is going way down. So, and they have a lot of money. They have to pay him a lot of money. So, that's concerning as far as a trade standpoint for the Raiders. But yeah, like you said... I mean, John Gruden has played this the way he wanted to. He has all the picks. He's on a 10-year contract. He can fully reconstruct this team to where in 3-4 years, they'll be a playoff contender, in my opinion. I mean, they're currently the oldest team in the NFL. You don't like that. They don't really have a young, youthful base at really many positions at all. And, again, this is just a fractured team right now that it's basically it's just a tank. And be excited for the future, Raiders fans, but this is not the year for a numerous amount of reasons. Let's move on now to a huge NFC matchup between the Green Bay Packers and the Los Angeles Rams. I know you're going to hate this line. The Los Angeles Rams are a 9-point favorite at home against the Green Bay Packers. That's pretty big. Who are you going to take with such a big line? Well, here, quick tidbit. Green Bay Packers 0-2 on the road against the spread. Los Angeles Rams 2-1 at home against the spread, 3-0 straight up. That's a big part of the reason for the line, but who you taking?
I'm taking Green Bay here. Green Bay's coming off of a bye. Ian Rapoport reported this week that Aaron Rodgers is as healthy as he's been season.
Screw him.
Do not give Aaron Rodgers a 9.5-point line. That's the biggest line he's ever had as an underdog.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This Green Bay team, they're looking to get Geronimo Allison back, looking to get Randall Cobb back, so they'll have their top three wide receivers back, or top three wide receivers, plus Jimmy Graham. Hopefully they can get Aaron Jones going finally. So I think Green Bay is an easy pick here. I think Aaron Rodgers can keep this game close, and... the over, I believe, will hit without a doubt. I said that last week. Tough beat there. But this game is going to be a shootout. Aaron Rodgers going to throw the ball. The Rams going to throw the ball or run the ball with Todd Gurley. I think it's going to be a huge scoring game. I'm going to take the over at 56.5. And the Green Bay Packers plus 9.5.
Well, just because I like disagreeing with you, I'm going to take the Rams minus 9.
Pure Bears pick.
Well, okay, look, I'll tell you why. If I had no reasoning, then you could call it a pure Bears pick. But listen to my reasoning. All right, here we go. People, this Packers defense is horrible. Somebody understand that. Do you understand that? I know you know that.
Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback in the league.
Let me tell you right now, that team without Aaron Rodgers is 5-11 at best.
Is he playing?
He's playing. Okay, Aaron Rodgers is playing. I just wanted to let you know about how bad this defense is. I mean, this is the best offense in the league against a bottom five defense in the league, in my opinion. The stats don't really show them to be a bottom five defense, but they are that bad. They just let out 30 points to the San Francisco 49ers, led by C.J. Beathard. So, they are bad. Moving on. This, again, is a Rams offense of the likes we have never seen before. Todd Gurley is going to go off against this terrible defense. I know Cooper Kupp is out. Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks against their average cornerbacks and their average secondary. They're going to go off. Marcus Peters is back for the 49ers, or for the Rams. I'm sorry. Geronimo Allison doesn't really scare me. Randall Cobb doesn't really scare me. I mean, Davante Adams kind of scares me, but Marcus Peters can lock down Davante Adams by any means. Rams are 3-0 as a home favorite. Packers, 4-8 as an away underdog since 2016. Packers, 0-3-1 against the spread after the bye. Not a good bye team. 1-7 against the spread in their last 8 against NFC teams. Look, this Rams team is really dang good. This Packers team, they're not a very good team. I know Aaron Rodgers is this. I know Aaron Rodgers is that. But look, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw for 400 yards, they're not going to win the football game. I mean, that was evident in the last two games. I mean, he threw for 400 yards in the last two games, and they barely beat the 49ers. My goodness, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw for 300 yards, this is a Rams win by 14. I'm telling you right now. It's just, I've never seen a team in NFL history that has been so carried by a quarterback. Do you agree? I mean, like, not specifically this year?
Yeah, 100%. Aaron Rodgers, if he actually had decent coaching, decent weapons, he should have 7 Super Bowls. I mean, he's...
Right. I mean, like, look, if you're a Packers fan, to be complete, you've had two of the best quarterbacks in NFL history for the past 20 years, and you've won 1 Super Bowl? Are you kidding me? You've had Aaron Rodgers for 8 years now at this point?
More than that. I think he won a Super Bowl 8 years ago.
You've had Aaron Rodgers for 10 years, and you've won. You've had the greatest quarterback of all time for 10 years, and you've won 1 Super Bowl? I mean, that just goes to show that, like, that's how bad their defense has been. I mean, my goodness. I mean, like, if I was a Packers fan, that'd make me mad. If the Bears had Aaron Rodgers for 10 years and we won 1 Super Bowl, I'd be like, gosh dang it. What the heck is going on? I think they fired Mike McCarthy at the end of the year. I'm going to tell you that right now. I mean, yeah. My goodness. What has he done to make the team better? They don't do anything in free agency. I mean, they got Jimmy Graham. Congratulations. I mean, I know they're a team that drafts, but...
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Could you see Urban Meyer leaving the Ohio State Buckeyes for the Green Bay Packers?
Man, wow. That's a good question. Okay, I think Urban Meyer leaves the Ohio State Buckeyes. I mean, we both go to Ohio State, so we're both Ohio State fans. And this is a team right now that is pretty bad, actually. And I think he needs to be gone. But... A move to the NFL. Was he ever in the NFL? I know he started at Florida, but was he ever an assistant or anything?
No.
I don't think he. I don't know. Are there rumors about it?
No, he's an offensive coach. They need to figure something out.
I think. I don't know. I don't think he goes to the NFL. I think he stays in college. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I haven't seen anything about Urban Meyer's potential to go to the NFL. I mean, do you think? I mean,
I don't. I think. Ohio State wants to move on. I think they want to go to Ryan Day.
Oh, I completely agree. But do you think Urban Meyer has the ability to be a coach in the NFL?
That's tough.
Look what he just did. Like, look, if Ohio State won the national championship this year, and, like, he was offered a job, not fired, he was offered a job by the NFL, not fired by Ohio State.
You don't think
he gets fired?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I think he gets fired.
They would have fired him.
At this point already?
Yeah. Oh, I think they would have fired him in the
offseason. If they lose to Michigan, he's getting fired. And again,
I don't know.
This is an NFL podcast, but you got to talk about a little college here and there since we're Ohio State fans. But, I mean, usually if a college coach gets fired, like, they're usually not getting picked up by the NFL. It's usually they had a really good season, and then NFL organizations are attracted by the fact that they had a good season, and they offer them, and then they're obviously going to take an NFL contract over a college contract most of the time. So we'll see how that plays out. But even if he does go to the NFL, I don't think he's a great suit for Green Bay. I think they're going to look for a more defensive-minded coach because you have Aaron Rodgers. You don't really need to have an extremely creative offense because Aaron Rodgers is the offense. So we'll see. Again, it's very low chance that they fire Mark McCarthy because he's been there for so long and he's, like, their formula. But this team, I don't think he's going to make the playoffs. I'll say it right now. I don't think the Green Bay Packers make the playoffs. Woo! Woo! Here's my weekly Packers hate. No, I mean, I picked them to win a few weeks ago, so I'm not biased. Not completely biased. Let's move on now. What a spectacular game we have here in Arizona. The San Francisco 49ers at the Arizona Cardinals, 2-1-6 teams. You're looking at one of the best games of the week on this one, aren't you, Ryan?
Yeah, this is a matchup of pure powerhouses. I mean, absolute dominance, top to bottom, two of the best teams in the league that we've ever seen.
This game is Arizona plus one.
A 1-6 versus 1-6 matchup. I'm going to take...
San Francisco 0-4 on the road, Arizona 0-4 at home. I love it.
Yeah, I'm going to take the 1-6 team here. So I'm going to take Arizona Cardinals plus one. I think they win this game outright. The 49ers are 1-4 against spread in their last five games against the NFC West. The Cardinals are 3-0-1 in their last four against the NFC against the spread. And the underdog is 7-3 against the spread in the last 10 meetings. The Arizona Cardinals are the underdog. I said it last week that Josh Rosen gets on track. He did not, but that was due to an early pick six and another early pick six.
Yeah.
I think he gets going in this game against a weak San Francisco team. So I think Arizona wins this game. I think Josh Rosen has a good game. Give me Arizona plus one.
All right, I'm also taking Arizona plus one. I think this is finally the David Johnson game. We've been saying it every week, but this is it, folks. David Johnson rushing for 900 yards and four touchdowns. You're going to see it happen. The biggest thing we saw last week, offensive coordinator Mike McCoy got fired, so they brought in Brian Leftwich. And what did he say in the press conference? He said, "We're giving the ball to David Johnson 20-plus times, guaranteed." All right? You're going to see David Johnson finally get going. And it hasn't been a problem of the execution by himself, but rather the fact that the offense just didn't run through David Johnson. And in this offense, you got to be running through David Johnson. This is a team at 1-6. You don't want to put pressure on Rosen. And the best way to relieve pressure on a rookie quarterback is to get the running game going. So new offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach Brian Leftwich, wants to keep Rosen protected. So he understands that the 49ers are 0-4 on the road. They have the 32nd ranked. They have a poor rush defense. Bottom 20, not 32nd though. Again, we're going to finally see David Johnson produce the way he had the past 2 weeks. Fantasy owners, get excited. To San Francisco, they signed Tom Savage, so we may see him. If CJ Beathard kind of falters in the first half, we may see Tom Savage come back. And I think he throws for three touchdowns. I'm going to say it right now. I think Tom Savage.
You're already calling CJ Beathard benching.
I'm a big Tom Savage guy, so let's just say that. The Cards are the 24th ranked defense overall, the 32nd ranked rush defense. So who are you gonna see?
Raheem Mostert.
Raheem Mostert. Man, do I love Raheem Mostert. He's my guy. I think he's finally finding his place in the NFL. Just this year, he has 25 attempts for 157 yards, 6.3 average. He had a big game last week. Raheem Mostert is the future of the San Francisco 49ers. Forget Jimmy Garoppolo. Forget Matt Breida. Forget Jared McKinnon. It's Raheem Mostert. All right? He's going to take over the backfield, and he's going to be the leader of this team next year. In all seriousness, big game from Raheem Mostert. Big fantasy target. Not much to say about this game, but I think Cardinals just had the better team overall, especially their defense. You're going to see them win the football game at home. Let's move on now to the game of the week. Sunday Night Football, Minnesota Vikings against the New Orleans Saints. Vikings are at home. This is actually a pick 'em. Started at Saints plus 2.5, which may baffle you, and has now moved to a pick 'em, so a movement of 2.5 in favor of the Saints. But regardless, who you're taking in this pick 'em?
I'm taking the Saints. Obviously, they started out as 2.5-point underdogs, which is ridiculous, in my opinion. I think the Saints are the better team, although I do think Minnesota is playing well. The Saints have been rolling as of late. They're 3-0 on the road, so they're playing pretty good, like really well, actually, on the road. This team is moving the ball everywhere, through the air, on the ground. I think the Saints win this game. Minnesota, I think this will be a close game down to the end. But the Saints are 4-0 in their last four games overall against the spread. They're killing it. I'm also going to take the over here. The over, I think, will easily hit. This is going to be a high-scoring game, a close game, but a high-scoring game. The over has hit 8 of their last 10 meetings between these two teams. So they always score points against each other. I would not be surprised with another high-scoring game, but I think the Saints come out with the win.
Maybe you should hold back a little bit on the guaranteed overs after last week.
Nope, these are guaranteed. I do not foresee Drew Brees being taken out. I don't see Kirk Cousins being taken out. I don't think these teams are going to stop scoring with 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So this is guaranteed. Mortal lock.
He is referencing Bengals and Chiefs last week, in case you didn't know. But I'm taking the Saints, as well as Ryan. This is a revenge game for the Saints. We saw it last year. The Minnesota Miracle eliminated them from the playoffs, and I think that is going to come back to that's going to be on their minds for sure the last time they were in Minnesota. So the Saints have signed – not signed. They have traded for Eli Apple. So that'll help the secondary. Right now, the Saints are actually the lead leaguer in rush defense.
Wow.
So, this is a secondary that has been the fault, been the downfall of this team. In the past few years, it has. But now, you know, they've got Marshawn Lattimore, who will be lined up against Stephon Diggs. And they got Eli Apple, who will be a big help to the secondary. Here's the concerning thing if you're the New Orleans Saints. You can have P.J. Williams up against Adam Thielen in the slot. I love that matchup for Minnesota, because Adam Thielen has been extremely productive this year. He is the first NFL player in history to have 7 straight 100-yard games. But you're right. This is going to be a very close game. It's going to come down to the fourth quarter. I think you're looking at a 30-28 game. It's just going to come down to who's going to be clutch in the fourth quarter. And I think it's the New Orleans Saints. I think it's Drew Brees, an MVP candidate. Xavier Rhodes may not play. So you're looking at a huge mismatch between Michael Thomas and that secondary if Xavier Rhodes, one of the best corner coverage cornerbacks in the NFL, does not play. So this is such a tough pick, another really tough pick. These are two pretty good football teams. But the thing that I look at the most is New Orleans is consistent. Let's not forget, Minnesota lost to Buffalo by 20-plus. And people are, like, ready to declare them, again, one of the top 5 teams in the NFL. No, I'm not ready to declare them one of the top 5 teams in the NFL if they lost to Buffalo by plus 20-plus at home. And where are they playing this week?
At home.
At home. New Orleans, 3-0 on the road. And that's actually funny because coming into this year and the previous years to New Orleans Saints, they have been so bad on the road, and they've been so good at home. And all of a sudden, they're good on the road, and it's like, goddamn. Like, this team is a goddamn threat wherever they play now. Like, they were a freaking threat when you played them at Mercedes-Benz. Like, they would just explode at Mercedes-Benz and then not be great on the road. Now they're great on the road and at home.
They're good everywhere.
They're dangerous now, my man. And I think they come out and they just... They beat the Minnesota Vikings. They win the football game, putting them at 6-1. Minnesota falls, and the Bears are going to win, right, obviously. So, Bears are going to move to first place in the NFC North after this week. So, definitely rooting for the Saints if you are a Bears fan. Now, let's move on to quite possibly the best game of the week. You're looking at the Monday Night Football matchup between the New England Patriots, probably one of the best teams in the NFL, versus questionably the best team in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, who are starting quarterback Derek Anderson. Folks, you might not want to turn on the TV for this Monday Night game because it could very well be 38-0. Who are you taking in this one?
I'm taking the Patriots, and
wow, what a pick.
There's basically nothing to say about this game other than Tom Brady will blow the Buffalo Bills out on Monday Night Football. It's not going to be a great competitive game, I don't think. I think the Patriots are going to win this game very easily. I think this game will get out of hand very quick. Not much to say other than Patriots and a blowout.
There's one stat I have for this game. Very important stat. The Patriots, 4-0 against the spread in their last 4 games on field turf. This is just an unbelievable team on field turf. And where are they playing?
That's very important.
Buffalo. Buffalo has field turf. So, better watch out because the Patriots are virtually unstoppable on field turf, my man. Now, in all seriousness, this is a Buffalo team that they're competitive with Josh Allen. And to be completely honest, if Josh Allen plays in this football game, which he isn't, but if he did, this would be a cover if that line was still -14. That is a line, by the way, New England -14. this is just a Buffalo team right now that they have no confidence with Derek Anderson. There's not a lot you can do with him. Do you think Nathan Peterman gets in the game if Derek Anderson does poorly? Or what? You think just...
I think it'll have to be a very, very bad game. I think it'll have to be out of hand very quick. And I still don't know. I think Sean McDermott's very scared of putting in Nathan Peterman.
I mean, I would be too if I was the coach. This is a huge thing that I look at about the Buffalo Bills and this whole quarterback situation. In the beginning of the year, they traded A.J. McCarron to the Raiders.
And I'm After just signing him.
After just signing him. And I'm like, why? Do you think Peterman's a more viable option than A.J. McCarron? And now, like, if this team had A.J.
And they traded Tyrod Taylor as well. So.
Right. By no means. Okay, first of all, this is inflicted by the organization. You choose to trade Tyrod Taylor, and now you're in this situation. You choose to trade A.J. McCarron, and now you're in this situation. That's all on you, Buffalo Bills front office. But I just don't understand. Like, you can't just expect that Josh Allen's going to play the whole season, or that, you know, I mean, Peterman started the year, didn't he? Or was Josh? Yeah, he started the year, and I think it was like early in the season. Josh Allen eventually came in. Might have been even the first game, if I remember correctly, but. If this team has A.J. McCarron, like, I like A.J. McCarron as a better backup than Derek Anderson and Nathan Peterman combined. I mean, they'd be in competitive football games with A.J. McCarron way more than either of these guys. So, I don't know what the heck. What did they get for A.J. McCarron? Nothing really that special.
I want to say a player, like a fifth round pick.
Was it a pick?
Maybe a fourth round pick. But either way, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, I think Patriots, like I said, win this game easily. They have too many weapons. Buffalo just doesn't have enough talent to stop this Patriots team.
Yeah, it was a fifth-round pick for A.J. McCarron. This is just... I wish they could flex into primetime, into Monday night games, because I don't want to watch this game. Not a lot of people want to watch this game. That's it for our game previews. We're going to move on now to our fantasy outlook insight for the week. We're going to Ryan and I are going to go through our starts and sits of the week. Ryan, who's your start of the week?
My start of the week is James White. I think he's going to get a huge workload against the Buffalo Bills with Sony Michel doubtful to play in this game.
He won't play.
I think James White already had a huge role in this offense. He's going to have an even bigger role now that he will be the lead back. They do have Kenyon Barner, but I don't see him getting too many of the carries. I think he will get some. I don't think it'll take away from James White's tremendous value this week. My sit of the week is Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon is going to be lined up against Tre'Davious White, who is one of the best cornerbacks in the league, I would say. Definitely the best cornerback on the Bills. Josh Gordon lines up outside 92% of the time. Tre'Davious White lines up on the outside, shadows the team's best outside receiver. The Patriots aren't going to try and disguise Josh Gordon inside. They have Julian Edelman for that. Julian Edelman, I think, could have a big day. I think Tom Brady will find other people to throw the ball to. Josh Gordon's getting comfortable in this offense, but I just don't think he will have a huge day this week.
Fair enough. Take a guess what my start of the week is.
Raheem Mostert.
Raheem Mostert is my start of the week against the Cardinals' 32nd ranked rushing defense, and with Matt Breida out, Ryan just made a little. I don't know about that.
Undrafted free agent.
Okay, Philip Lindsay was an undrafted free agent.
Philip Lindsay hasn't been on 8 teams in 2 years.
I don't care. Raheem Mostert is unbelievable. He actually had a big week last week. This is not just like a guy who hasn't been producing. He produced last week. He has potential. He's going to go off. He's going to go for 110 plus yards and a touchdown. Just book it down right now. If you're playing FanDuel, you can probably get this guy for a very low amount of money, and he's going to be a big payout. Huge for the daily fantasy leagues. Huge for the regular fantasy leagues. Raheem Mostert is my start of the week. My sit of the week, any Jets running backs. They have Bilal Powell. They have Isaiah Crowell. But this is one of the second ranked.
Powell's out. Powell might be done for the rest of his career.
Thought he was questionable.
No, they put him on IR, neck injury, just had surgery. Might be done for his career.
Wow, well, there you go. So I guess you can't start Bilal Powell. But that being said, don't start Isaiah Crowell. This is a Bears defense that is currently ranked second in the NFL in rushing. They have the best red zone rushing defense. They have not allowed a touchdown from a opposing rusher in their first seven games of the season. So do not start Isaiah Crowell against this stellar rush defense. That's my sit of the week. Going to move on to our last segment. New one called Contenders or Pretenders. We're going to go through five or so teams who are kind of average right now, middle of the pack, may have a winning record. Don't really know who they are. Are they contenders? Are they pretenders? Let's start, Ryan, with the Cincinnati Bengals. Contenders or pretenders?
I think right now they're contenders. They lose this week, they will be pretenders. It's very contingent on this week. I think this week they could get back on track or they will be out.
I'm going to go pretenders for the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think they really have a chance to win this AFC North. I think you're going to see the Steelers run away with it. This is just not a complete team all around. The defense is really holding them down, and it's not an offense that's going to be able to keep up with the defensive woes. So I think Cincinnati is a pretender. Next one, Denver Broncos, contender or pretender?
They are a pretender. They are currently third in the AFC West. There are just too many good teams in the AFC for them to... They're probably going to lose this week, dropping to 3-5, even further down in the division. I just don't see them making any serious moves within the AFC to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to go pretender. It comes from Case Keenum for me. This is a defense that is okay, but I just don't think they're going to be able to get to where they want to with Case Keenum. He's not the player he was last year. It's just a team that's pretty close. Next year, they'll be a playoff team. A few pieces away, a few free agent signings away. Still close, but this year, pretender. Moving on, NFC East, Cowboys, contender or pretender?
Cowboys are a pretender.
Wow.
They did just get... Amari Cooper, but I don't think they're a talented enough team. Amari Cooper, it's not like he's been going off, and they just got the best wide receiver in the game. This is a hope a change of scenery helps a guy out type trade. I think this is either going to be the Redskins or the Eagles. I think the Eagles just need that one game. We thought it looked like it was 2 weeks ago. Then last week happened. They're still the most talented team in this division. They just need to click on all cylinders, and I think they can win this division.
I am going contenders. The Cowboys are an okay football team, and I do think that Amari Cooper will elevate them. I don't know if they get in the playoffs, but they're sure going to be in contention. This is a solid defense and an offense that can get going. Going to rely a lot on the effect of Amari Cooper, like we said. Don't know how much he will help. I think they gave up too much for him, but I think they're a contender as of now. They've won some pretty big games, but I think they don't get in the playoffs this year, but for sure will be in contention. Moving on, the Chicago Bears, Ryan, contenders or pretenders?
I mean, right now they are contenders, but I don't see them winning this division. They might sneak in as a wild card team, but even that I'm not so sure about. I think next year they will definitely be contenders. This year I think they're just a little too young, and I think they are pretenders for right now.
Whoa, what is that? Come on, man. I'm going contenders without a doubt. Let me tell you, this is...
Really?
This is the second most talented team in the NFC North.
And NFC North, there's four divisions in the NFC, eight divisions in the league.
Okay, well, they have the Vikings in the NFC North. They're probably the fourth most talented team in the NFC. When Khalil Mack is healthy, best defense in the NFC. When Mitchell Trubisky gets going, top five offense in the NFC. This is a good football team, all right? They can win football games. I'm a Bears fan. But this team has a lot of freaking talent. They've lost a few games by simple mistakes They should have just beat the New England Patriots, questionably the best team in the NFL. The Chicago Bears are contenders. They should
not have just beat the New England Patriots.
Ryan, if they did not score two special teams touchdowns, the Bears win that game. You can.
Yeah, but you can't just take those touchdowns off the board and say that Tom
Brady. Well,
I'm going
to take them off the board. Did you see the block in the back on Sherrick McManus? Okay, there's a blatant block in the back on that. I'm just going to say that right away. But this is what happens when you play the Patriots, right? Oh, they're the New England Patriots. They're Tom Brady. We're not going to call anything.
I'm just saying you can't guarantee a win.
I'm not going to guarantee a win. But they're competitive, and they still should have won that game. So, the Chicago Bears are contenders. Bias, unbiased, I don't care what you call it. Chicago Bears are contenders. All right, a few more. Atlanta Falcons. Contenders?
Pretenders.
Pretenders. He didn't have to wait for that one. He's going pretenders.
The Saints are going to run away with this division. The Panthers already have a huge lead on the Falcons. It's too late for them to try and sneak into a wild card spot.
I agree. This is a team that's clearly not going to win the division, and this defense is not good enough. They're at 3-4 right now, and like you said, there's a lot of competitive teams in the NFC. I think they are out. Last one, Tennessee Titans. Contenders or pretenders? Actually, scratch that. I know you're going to say pretenders. This one's even better. Jacksonville Jaguars. Contenders or pretenders?
I think, like the Bengals, this is dependent on what happens this week. I think it's the same with the Eagles as well.
Yeah.
3-4 team. If they lose, they're down to 3-5. Texans are at 5-3. I just think that right now I would say contenders because of their defense. I think even if they lose, they still could sneak in. But I think a loss would really, really hurt their contention to making the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right about, like, this week, depending on, like, this is a week. You're here in week 8. This is kind of when you find
halfway through the season.
This is
where you figure out
this is when you figure out who some of these teams are. If you fall to 3-5, you're in a bad spot. If you're up to 3-4, you're still in contention. I think you're right. I think if they lose the game, this could be it for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Texans are kind of running away with the AFC South. Again, this is a competitive AFC wildcard race. I'm going it's tough. When's Leonard Fournette supposed to come back?
They have no idea.
No idea?
No timetable.
Well, they're pretenders until Leonard Fournette comes back, and they're contenders when he comes back. But right now, without Leonard Fournette, they are pretenders. The defense is really good, but the offense is not good enough. We'll see how Carlos Hyde plays. That has been the Week 7 Game Preview Podcast. Hope you guys liked it. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to the podcast. We are on there. Support it. Subscribe. Give some feedback.
Yeah.
Hope you guys have a great week.
Talk to you guys later. Peace out.
Bear down.